The gospel today is from the fifth chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Red Letter Challenge. Are you guys excited to take on this and be a part of this Red Letter Challenge? A daily reading from the words of Christ, and it's 40 days, and I think that this 40 days could really impact our church like no other. It's a great opportunity to grow in your faith and to stretch you out of your comfort zone more than ever, because each day also gives you a little bit of a challenging word that you could work toward. 40 days. Well, it begins this Wednesday, and it's really just asking you to spend 10 minutes a day in a Bible reading and devotional, and then taking the challenge. And 40 days. Well, why is 40 days significant? Well, it was 40 days and nights that it rained in the time of Noah. It was 40 years of wandering the desert that the Israelites did after they left Egypt. And 40 days of in the desert where Jesus was tempted. So 40 in the Bible is a significant amount of time. And that's why the season of Lent is also 40 days, excluding the Sundays, preparing us for the resurrection of Christ. This 40 days could be a time to begin and really secure a new habit in your life. And I looked it up on ChatGPT, of course, where you look for things these days. What is it? What's the average amount of time it takes to form a new habit? And someone said 21 days, but that's false. I learned. That is not necessarily true, because a habit could take, depending on its complexity, an average of 66 days. And it could take between 18 and 254 days, but it depends on the habit. If it's a complex habit, it's a small habit, it may be formed faster in your life. But ways that you can consistently gain something like a new habit is to repeat the behavior in the same context. So in other words, do it at the same time of every day or in the same setting every day. That could help you. It may help you to link your habit to something you already do, like brushing your teeth. Like my wife has got me to do squats now while I brush my teeth. It works pretty well, actually. You're doing it anyway, so why not? And if you identify your alignment of your habit with, and you tie that to yourself, like you say, "I am someone who exercises," then all of a sudden you'll start to believe it more. So those kind of things help you form new habits. So this 40 days can really be kind of a challenge for us. I like to bike ride, and I set out to ride in the McDowell Mountain Park, the Pemberton loop, which is 15.7 miles. I think I'm in good enough shape. That's totally doable. And it was one of those Saturdays when Chris left me to go to Minnesota to see our grandkids. So I'm like, you know, what else could I do except go on a bike ride? I didn't really train for it. I'd never really ridden that far in a long time. But, you know, I love the bike trails around here, the views of the mountains and the deserts. And I really enjoyed the first two-thirds of this ride. But then I stopped for a break at a shelter, had a little snack and some water. And as I got back on my bike, I kind of felt, ouch, these legs are kind of stiff right now. I rode a little bit further and my legs started to cramp up. So I got off my bike, and what do you do in that situation? You call your son, who's a physical therapist, and you say, Philip, I'm in trouble. Help me. I need a stretch. I need something. He's like, did you bring salt water? I'm like, no, I should have thought of that. Now I do that. But he gave me some stretches. I could ride a little bit further. I stopped again, stretched out. Some kind bike rider asked me if he could help me. I'm like, I'm good, I think, but come back in 10 minutes if I'm still here. But anyway, in my mind, that wonderful loop bike ride played out differently than it did. I know that I would have been much better to build up to 15.7 miles and, according to Philip, bring some salt water, but I'll say that idea was really a challenge. Now, the red letter challenge is easier on the body than that one. But it will challenge your heart, soul, and mind. Simply reading a daily devotional and try the daily challenge to come to worship. If you want to get more out of it, be a part of a small group. We're going to have an extra video that's from the author of the book and discussion group that will be happening right after church and in some home groups. And you wonder, well, why is it even called the Red Letter Challenge? I think you probably all know this, but there's Bibles like this one that I have here. The Bible in your pew doesn't have this. It's a cheaper Bible. But the words in red are the words of Jesus. So whenever Jesus is quoted, instead of just quotation marks, you can just look through your New Testament and the Gospels especially, and you see the words in red. Today's gospel, and the red letters are intended to make you pay attention. I think that's what they do for me. As I look at them, I go, oh, this is actually Jesus speaking. I better pay attention to what it's not just narrative. It's not just, you know, filler. This is actually the words of Christ. And these words can stop you in your tracks to listen and learn. Like today's gospel, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And you go, what are you saying, Jesus? I love in The Chosen episode, season 2, episode 8, Matthew is working with Jesus, the character of Matthew is working with Jesus as he's practicing the Sermon on the Mount and these words. And he asks him, I don't really understand what you're saying. We are the salt of the earth. And this is how Jesus answers in the movie, and I think it's a really good answer. The script writers did a good job. What does salt of the earth even mean? Well, salt preserves meat from corruption. It slows its decay. I want my followers to be people who hold back the evil of the world. Salt also enhances the flavor of things. I want my followers to renew the world and be part of its redemption. And then Jesus also says, salt can be mixed with honey and rubbed on the skin for maladies. I want my people to participate in the healing of the world, not its destruction. The words of Jesus. He wants us to be, hold back the evil of the world, enhance the renewal of the world and its redemption, and participate in the healing of the world. When he says, you are the salt of the earth, that's what it means. He goes on, I think the next paragraph is a little more understanding. We understand you're the light of the world, and you don't set a, if you put a light on a hill, you can see it further. You can let your light shine before others, which is really interesting because in other Gospels, other places, Jesus says that he's the light of the worlds. And yet he says here that we are the light of the worlds. We can shine our faith and shine out from where we are. These are the words of Jesus. This inspires us to go out from here with a smile on our face, being kind to the people we meet, encouraging them, blessing them. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The next section is very important because as you heard in the Old Testament readings today, it said about how we can love the law of the Lord. And we know that Jesus came, as he says, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So he would make it perfect and right. Instead of us trying to be perfect, he's the one that makes us perfect because he is the one who was perfect. And we can be a part of God's kingdom through the merits of Christ by believing in him. He says the law won't pass away, but because he says if you don't exceed the righteousness of even the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's kind of confusing because we never will. But that's if you only follow the path of law and not the path of Christ, of grace and mercy and peace. So this red letter challenge is really just to encourage us as a whole body to do this. If we who are the followers of Jesus would actually take the words of Jesus and put them into practice, what would happen? Now, this isn't a new idea. It's not my idea. It's really the way that God designed it. What if we had the answers all along of what to do and how to live our lives? They're right here in front of us in God's Word. And to do that, that is the red letter challenge. To take his words, and there are a lot of words written by Jesus, but to take these words, and they were organized in this book, mostly from the book of Matthew here in the Sermon on the Mount, and over the next 40 days, really just focus on the greatest sermon ever preached, which was Jesus' three chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. He gave us in this sermon all kinds of key things to think about, ways to live, how to approach life, how to put his words into practice. He ends his sermon with these words. It's in Matthew 7:24 that says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, if you've read the Sermon on the Mount, you know that some of it's difficult to understand, even the section I precedingly talked about the law. Jesus uses humor and sarcasm, and he introduces countercultural ideas, and it amazed everyone who were in attendance and heard his words for the first time. But it still amazes us today. But the thing that sticks out to me is that he closes a sermon with an illustration that's so simple. It reminds me of the children's story, The Three Little Pigs. Jesus is saying, if you want your house to stand up and not blow over when the winds or the storm or the bad evil wolf comes, practice what I'm preaching. Do what I say. Jesus says in Luke 11:28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And James, the brother of Jesus, says even more simply in James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So that's really just the big idea of this red letter challenge, to take the words of Jesus, the ones written in red in our Bibles, and put them into practice literally. It's not very it's very unoriginal. It's not a revolutionary idea. But I do believe that when we do that, it does and will change your lives, because it'll also change us and the world we live in and the people we connect with. He's called us to be his disciples, and we get to represent him. And we have the opportunity to believe that following Jesus, and I believe following Jesus is not a burden, but it's a great, greatest single opportunity of our lives, as the wristband says. The stakes are too high and too important for us to simply be going through the motions and not knowing if we're effective or not. So friends, welcome to the Red Letter Challenge. 40 days of life-changing discipleship, putting the words of Jesus into practice. Zach Zender did this work and wrote the book, and what he did over the course of many years is combed the New Testament and, condensed the teachings of Jesus into five themes. And I think he did a really good job of really these themes that we're going to focus on one week at a time really do sum up his principles, Jesus' principles, and what he wants for us and what we're to shoot for. So first, being. There's so much of what Jesus talks about is spending time with him, praying. He invites us to do things for him and through him in his name. He invites us into a relationship, and our relationship with him determines how effective we are at actually doing the things he asks. So the first week of our challenge will be on being. And then the second week is forgiving. Jesus is about grace. So many of us struggle with receiving God's forgiveness, forgiving ourselves or forgiving others. But to truly represent Jesus in this world, we have a great understanding of God's grace in our lives that extends that grace to others as we learn to forgive. Third, serving. After spending time being with him and receiving his forgiveness, now we're motivated to go out and do what he wants us to do and serve him, serve our community, help those in need, love on our neighbors, etc. So that's going to be the week of serving. And then giving. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven more than anything else in his teachings. But the second thing he talked about the most was money. And I found through the words of Jesus, it's impossible to be a stingy Christian. Jesus' followers are generous. And so that fourth week will be about generosity and giving. And then finally, the last week will be about going. It's no coincidence that many of Jesus' last words in the Gospels, even his last command in the book of Acts, centers on the fact that we, as his followers, are not meant to just hold his message inside, but we're meant to tell others and go out and be his mouthpiece in the world and tell the good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and we're forgiven. And it's the same news for every single person. So those five things, being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. These are the five principles that we'll be focusing on for the next 40 days. The words in red are the red letters are there to make us pay attention, to stop in our tracks, to listen, and to learn. So over these next 40 days, we're going to put these words into practice. We're embarking on a journey where we are not just going to read the word, but try to put this into practice. And this will be the result. By putting God's words into practice, you'll find the life that God made for you. I guarantee you will. I'm so excited to welcome you on the journey, and I'm going to be joining you in this journey. It's not just you doing it, but we're all doing it together. So I'm going to feel like a bit of a tour guide as we focus on the words of Christ in Matthew and other places. But I want you to start your trip well, as good as possible, and to be prepared. What do you need to pack? Well, what's in this week, what it's all about, is it's like going on a journey. So before you leave and start week one this week, which is this Tuesday or Wednesday, some quick reminders. First, if you still don't need a book, get a book before you leave today. And even if you're a guest and you're not going to be here for all 40 days, you're welcome to join us. Get a book and do it wherever you go. But the main thing about this devotion is that it's a challenge. But some people and some of you, when you hear the word challenge, you start getting a little bit competitive. And you start going, I can do this. I am going to do this. I am really going to rock this. I'm going to dominate. I'm going to do this challenge so well. Okay, before you go there, don't do that. The temptation is you want to perform well, but the whole point of the challenge is not to do it right. It's or to do it better than your spouse or your friends and put check marks on all the boxes, but that you live more for Jesus. So as your tour guide, before you get things started, I want to remind you of two things. First, this: invite Jesus into your challenge. As you open that devotional, ask him, Lord, what would you like to say to me today? And then read in such a way that you can experience his presence with you. It'd be crazy to start this journey on the red letters of Jesus and leave Jesus out of it. We want to invite him in with us so that as we read this every day, it becomes a daily habit, but also that we can accomplish it in this 6 weeks and really experience his presence. You know, there is a real problem in the world today that many people believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior, but they don't really live with him. It's more in their head and not in their heart. So, first of all, don't fall into the trap of doing the words of Jesus without Jesus, right? And then also, to give yourself some grace. And I hope that if you start this and you go, okay, I'm all excited. I did it on Tuesday. I did it on Wednesday. I did it on Thursday. On Friday, I went for a hike. I forgot to do it. Dang it. Instead of beating yourself up and saying, well, I quit. Just pick up where you left off. If you want to go back and read back, do it. But you're going to get something out of every day, and you don't have to do it even every day of the challenge. Secondly, you can also invite other people into the challenge. So whether it be your family, your spouse, a small group, or friends at church, get a wristband and encourage one another and ask each other, what'd you get out of that reading today or yesterday? Love to hear from you. So those things are going to help us succeed in this challenge, is to do it with others. You know, and support your others in your church family, like my bike riding story. There was times I needed Philip. I needed to call him so that my legs were cramping up and I needed help. And actually, when you do things with other people, encouraging them along, it'll help you complete the challenge. So, the red letters. Get a wristband. Get a book. You bring Jesus in. Invite others to join you. And may these red letters, as they do for me, help you to pay attention, to stop, to listen, and to learn. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for this, your word. Your word is light to us. It's love in text. It is your spirit that teaches us and helps us to learn. And Lord, we all have read the Bible. I pray, Lord, that this challenge, this 40 days, would help us to live the Bible, help us to be Christ, little Christ, for others in this world, and to let your words challenge us and also comfort us and help us be fulfilled in our life and our mission. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.